Scripture reading, turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures. The text we consider is verses 15 and 16. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. And there is reference to that throughout the psalm. We praise the King. The psalm speaks of how we praise God who is the King. It starts off that way. I will extol thee, my God, O King. That we praise the one whom we confess to be the King. And in the middle of the psalm, we see reference of that. Verse 10, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. They're going to talk about thy power. They're going to speak about the glorious majesty of his kingdom. His kingdom is everlasting, his dominion throughout all generations. That we are praising the king. We're thinking about the king and how he sovereignly rules over all and how he cares for his creatures. And that specifically is what we look at in this text. That it says, he satisfies the desire of every living thing. Verse 19 then speaks about that again. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Just as our Lord brought up that when we look at the creation and think of how God cares for all the creatures, even as we just sang, the life of each creature, the Lord makes his care. The life of each creature. God tells us we're to take note of that. And then we're to think about, if God cares for all of these creatures, certainly he'll care for us. Certainly he is caring for us. Certainly he does hear our cry. He has saved us. He will preserve us. We are to think on these things and to express our thanks to our God. We're to meditate upon the fact that we really do eat out of his hand. The eyes of all wait upon thee. Thou openest thine hand. God opens his hand. And we really do eat out of his hand. We don't see that with the eye of the body. We can't see the invisible God with the eye of the body. Yet we do know this is true. And God directs us to think about that. Everything that we have, God has given us. He is constantly caring for us in our need. And we're to think about how he not only gives us food, but he satisfies us. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. He will, verse 19, he fulfills the desire of them that fear him. It's important to think of that, that God gives us food. He also satisfies us. He gives food to the ungodly, but they're never satisfied. Man by nature is never satisfied. He always wants more. And even if he obtains more, he's still not satisfied. God grants us the grace to be satisfied, the gift of contentment, which is only a reality in Jesus Christ. So that we're to think about how he gives us our food. We're to think about how he satisfies us. And we're to praise him. We're to thank him from the heart to glorify his name. We consider this text under the theme, God satisfying every living thing. We consider his giving us food, satisfied by him, and praising him. God satisfying every living thing, giving us food, satisfied by him, and praising him. We recognize when we sing of a psalm like this, we're thinking about God's providence. In fact, some of the psalms, like Psalm 287, Psalter number 287, which is also on Psalm 104, this Psalm 145 and Psalm 104, of which we sang, are two examples of psalms that speak about the providence of God. And one of the Psalter numbers, 287, is called a meditation on providence. We think about, we meditate on the truth of God's providence. That God is the one that is upholding and governing everything. And as we praise God, we are to think about his providing for us. That he governs and directs all things. What about Christ? If God is the one who upholds and governs all things, what about Christ? We recognize that Christ sits at the right hand of God, through whom God governs all things, through Christ. That he sits at the right hand of God, that's what that means. That he's at the right hand of God means that God is governing things in and through Christ Jesus. And that we're to think about that as we receive what we need, as we receive the food that we need, as we receive the clothes that we need. We're to think about how they all come to us from God, who provides for us and who governs and directs everything. Now, one thing about human beings is that we are called to work for food. When we look at animals that graze, they just go out into the, they go out and graze to obtain the food they need, or they hunt, or whatever way an animal eats. But we recognize that God has told us that we're to work. He teaches us about planting crops. And in order that we are to have the food, he tells us now, he gives us seeds, and he tells us that we are to plant. And there's a time for planting. And man learns about different plants and when to plant and how to plant and when to harvest and how to harvest. Different harvest times for different plants, all determined by God. But that man is going to work. If he doesn't work, he's not to eat. That we're all to be busy working. But we recognize that God is the one that gives us the ability to work. He's the one that gives us the strength to work. He's the one that gives us the opportunity to work. And if for a time we're unable to work, if we're laid low and we're unable to work, we recognize that God provides for his people and that we work together, that we're all members of a body, it may be. There will always be those that are not able to work. And we provide for them, that God provides for his people. And the people care for those in their need. And indeed, we all have work to do, even if we're laying on a bed. That it's also the case that God has given us a calling. Even if it is the case that in a certain stage in our life that we can't even get out of our bed. We recognize God is the one who grants us the strength, the ability, the opportunity to work, and even the act of working itself. As we work to God's glory, it is Christ working that in and through us, giving us the will, producing us, producing the act, so that even though we work to be able to obtain food, to grow food, to buy food, we recognize that that too is all of God. We really do eat out of his hand. Man looks at it as though he provides for himself. The folly of man, as obvious as this is, man foolishly thinks he can provide for himself, that he doesn't need God. He doesn't look to God. He doesn't call out to God and cry to God and trust in God. He rejects what God says and thinks that he can provide for himself. And is proud of what he considers to be his accomplishments. The ungodly, though they have to strive to obtain more and more, they're never satisfied. They're never satisfied. Never satisfied with food. In Ecclesiastes, we read that the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear with hearing. And Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. If one loves God, he'll be satisfied having communion with God. But if instead someone loves silver, the love of money, which we recently talked about, which is the root of all evil, if someone instead loves money, loves silver, he'll never be satisfied with silver. And we recognize that that's the case. Only the living are satisfied. God satisfies the desire of every living thing. The ungodly are never satisfied. But God directs us to look at how God provides for us, and to think about how God provides for all of his creatures. One of the things that's seen in this psalm is that we're to think of two groups. We're to see God's people, those that fear him, and the wicked. They're both mentioned in this psalm. Verse 19 mentions those that fear him. And then verse 20 speaks about the wicked. And a question is, with which group do you put the animals? Do the animals go with those that are wicked? Or do the animals go with those that fear him? There have been those that have put the animals with the ungodly and have looked at the covenant with Noah and said, look, the covenant is even with the animals. And to take that to mean that it's even with the ungodly then too. But the animals are not to be seen as being with the ungodly. Because notice in this psalm, it speaks of God preserving the animals. He opens his hand and he satisfies the desire of every living thing. The eyes of all wait upon thee. But with regard to the wicked, it says, but all the wicked will he destroy. Verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And verse 20 says, but all the wicked will he destroy. In fact, that was the text that was expounded in the very, if it wasn't the very first, it was one of the first standard bearers. The text that Reverend Hoeksema expounded was a combination of verse 9 and verse 20. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all. And verse 20, but all the wicked will he destroy. Many people would take the idea the Lord is good to all and his tender mercies are over all his works to mean that even the ungodly receive grace. But then you come to verse 20. The wicked are excluded. All the wicked will he destroy. The Lord is good. We're to see the goodness of God in all things he does. And as it talks about how he cares for all of his creatures, it also says, but all the wicked will he destroy. And of course, that was clearly illustrated in the flood. That God preserved Noah and his family and the animals that were with him in the ark. And then he spoke about the covenant that he made. And he made his covenant, God says, with Noah, with his family, with your seed, and with every living creature. Notice the language, living creature. With every living creature that is with you. Of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, the animals that are with you, with Christ. We know when we see the covenant with Noah, the covenant with Abraham, we think about the fact that the covenant is with Christ. He's the head of the new human race. He's the one that's the king. And we're to think about all the animals that are preserved by Christ. We're not to mistreat animals. We may eat them. We're not as those that say that it's wrong to eat an animal. The Bible makes clear that there's many references to the eating of animals. But we recognize we're not to mistreat them. We are to think about the fact that God did make his covenant with us and with the living creatures. And when we see a passage like this, the eyes of all wait upon thee, we're to think about that. Psalm 104 uses similar language. In Psalm 104, verse 27, verse 21 says, the young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. They seek their meat from God. And verse 27 says, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand. They are filled with good. The animals, God feeds them. They are filled with good. They wait upon him. Now that's quite striking. There are a number of places where you find that idea. Someone was to ask you, do they seek food from God? The Bible uses that language. They seek their meat from God. And there's a number of places that speak that way. They speak about how they wait upon. It says, these all, verse 27 says, these wait all upon thee. They wait upon God. That's also in the text we're looking at. The eyes of all wait upon thee. That's quite something. God made a reference to that when he talked to Job. God said this to Job, "Wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion? Or fill the appetite of the young lions?" Are you going to do that? "Who provides for the raven his food, when his young ones cry unto God?" His young ones cry unto God. Who provides for them their food? God asked Job that question, which means he would lead us to consider the answer to that same question. In the prophecy of Joel, we have similar language and also a word of comfort to the animals. In the prophecy of Joel, chapter 1, verse 20, "The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up." The beasts of the field are crying unto God because the rivers of water are dried up. And then in chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field." They're addressed. "Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit," and so on. It's quite something to think of these things, to think of the significance of the care of the animals. Certainly, that had to have been impressed upon Noah and upon those with him in the ark. Think of what it must have been like when all of a sudden, when it happened, as God directed, that all these animals came to them. Wondering, how are they going to get two of these different animals? And by sevens of the clean animals, how are they going to gather them all? Well, God's going to bring them. Which certainly testified to the fact that they are directed by God and that they're cared for by God. That God would preserve them. And then after they left, that off they would go. And certainly that time that they spent living in that ark with those animals impressed upon them the fact that the animals were with them, cared for with them. God's covenant, as he spoke, as we read, was with them. They cry to God. They look to God. And it says that God satisfies the desire of every living thing. Now, when we look at that, on the one hand, we talked about how the ungodly are never satisfied. The ungodly are not spiritually alive. God satisfies his people, as is brought out then in verse 19 when it refers specifically to the saints and says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Now that is connected. That's connected to the idea of what the blessing is. We often talk about how the food itself is not the blessing. Unbelievers receive food, but food doesn't profit if you don't receive the blessing too. Many people look upon the food as the blessing itself. Why then would we ask God to bless the food? Why ask him to bless the food if the food itself is a blessing of itself? As we say in the Heidelberg Catechism, that even God's gifts can't profit us without God's blessing, making a distinction between the gift and the blessing. And we ask God to bless our food. We want him to give us the food with his blessing. What does the blessing do? Food nourishes the body. What does the blessing do? You can't see the blessing. But the Bible does tell us what the blessing does. When we receive the blessing of God, we're satisfied. That's something spiritual, to be satisfied, to be content. That's important to see that the Bible connects the idea of the blessing with being satisfied. That makes it helps to make clear this idea that the ungodly don't receive the blessing. The scriptures make known very clearly that they're never satisfied, which points out to the fact that they don't receive the blessing. Those who receive the blessing are satisfied. Psalm 132:15 says, Psalm 132:15, I will abundantly bless her provision, that's her food. I will satisfy her poor with bread. There we see that idea again. That the idea that if you have the blessing, if he blesses our provision, which is our food, we're satisfied. We're satisfied with the bread he provides. That was mentioned also in the blessings when God spoke the word of blessings to the different tribes. And the promises that we read of here are all, you know, the promises are to Christ. Even when we go through and see the blessings to the different tribes, we're to think about how these blessings are true of us in Christ. In Deuteronomy 33, through verse 23. Deuteronomy 33, 23. Says, and of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full Satisfied goes with being full. Full with what? The blessing of the Lord. When one receives the blessing, they're full. We're full of the blessing of the Lord. Now, in this life, we only have the beginning of that. When we read of that, of what's true of us in Christ, as with other subjects we consider, we recognize that when we read of the ungodly are like this, and God's people are like this, that we recognize, well, we've got an old man that's like this and a new man like this. Our old man's never satisfied. And we see that in ourselves too. When we read that, he who loves silver is not going to be satisfied with silver, we can apply it to ourselves. We recognize that, and that grieves us. We can look back at the past and think, I used to be satisfied with something a lot less, but as I have obtained more, then I'm always wanting more. And I can look back in the past, I used to be satisfied with less. But we see the same characteristic. We can always look at somebody else, hey, they've got more than I've got. It's always easy for us to look at someone else and to not be satisfied with what we have. Why is that? That's what we're like by nature. And it grieves us that we're like that. We can complain. We complain and then we wonder, why am I complaining? Christ laid down his life. I'm one of the people that Christ laid down his life for. What do I deserve? Constantly have to be reminded of that. Why didn't I get this? Why didn't I get that? Why did this happen to me? We all constantly have to think, well, what do you deserve? Really? What did Christ go through for you? That blessing that we've been talking about had to be purchased. What was the price that had to be paid? We know what the price was. We keep losing sight of that and thinking about other things. But as our mind goes back to that, we think, what are we complaining about? Why do we complain? But then we also think about the fact that in the new man, we are satisfied. His blessing that is upon us, we see that. We recognize we are satisfied. We are filled with his blessing. We do sing. Who sings these psalms? This is the psalm. These are psalms that are sung by the satisfied. The ungodly don't sing these. They sing other songs. They don't sing these songs. Oh, true, an unbeliever could sing it outwardly, but they don't sing it from the heart and merely mean it. But you do. This is the psalm of those who are satisfied, who confess that God is feeding us right from his hand, who confess that God hears us when we cry. We talk about how the animals cry to God. And it says, He hears us when we cry. He fulfills the desire of them that fear Him. And God has placed that within our heart, that we love Him, we fear Him, the fear of reverence, of awe. This is the song of somebody who fears and stands in awe of God and wants to keep praising Him. We confess that He provides in our circumstances. He hears our cry. In times of prosperity, in times of adversity of different sorts, we go through difficult times in our life. He hears us when we cry. He blesses us. He assures us that He's with us, and that if we have Him with us, we have everything we need. We dwell in His house. We are citizens of His kingdom. We are in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, for yours is the kingdom. That as we sing of the kingdom, we're to think of that. We receive the kingdom as a gracious gift. He hears our cries. And as those who confess that and who wait upon Him and confess that He is, as we wait upon Him, as we look to Him, we recognize He hears us, He's hearing us, He's providing for us. We praise Him. We want to thank Him. We gather together on this day to express our thanks to God. And in this psalm, we repeatedly speak of that. That as we think of His word, we think of how God tells us to say and to sing, I will praise God. I will bless His name. I will thank Him. Verse 2 says, I'll do it every day. Every day will I bless Thee. Every day. And it speaks of us praising God's works from one generation to another. Verse 4, one generation is going to praise God's works to another. They're going to declare the mighty acts of God and teach it to the coming generation. It speaks how we show our thankfulness by talking about God. It says, verse 10, all thy works shall praise thee, all and thy saints shall bless thee. What are they going to talk about? They talk about the glory of His kingdom. They make known to the sons of men His mighty acts, the glorious majesty of His kingdom. They like to talk about the things of the kingdom of God. From one generation to the next, talking about the things of God, praising Him, thanking Him, thinking about the covenant with Noah, thinking about what it teaches us, thinking about the promise that God has made, that He tells us in the future, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. The cow and the bear shall feed. You think of that, a cow and a bear. The cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together. And then that phrase, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Praising him abundantly, that we say, I will praise him abundantly. In verse 7 of Psalm 145, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. Abundantly. The idea there is pouring out the memory of thy great goodness. We remember the works of God in our own life. We remember the works of God as we read of them in his word, as we've experienced them in our own life. May we praise him. May we show our thankfulness by our words of praise. Thankful, satisfied, praising him for all that he has done for us and for every living creature, living to the honor and the glory of his name. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, we are thankful for thy care. We are thankful for the blessing that thou dost give to us, for the joy that we have in our soul. We are thankful for the covenant into which we have been brought, for the hope that we have. We know that what thou dost tell us is true. We see thy hand providing for us. With the eye of faith, we see it. And we believe what thou dost tell us about what it will one day be like. And we think of what Christ went through, that we might be delivered, that we might receive things with the things thou dost give, with the word of thy blessing. We thank thee, we praise thee, we magnify thee, we delight to talk about thy works to the coming generation, to speak of the things of the kingdom, thy everlasting kingdom. May thy spirit constantly bring thy word to our remembrance, that we may constantly think on thy works and with joy and gladness in our soul may praise thy holy name. Grant this to us. Grant this to all thy people, for Christ's sake. Amen.